For great health care coverage, get the home field advantage with Farm Bureau Health Plans. They've got you covered.
Bringing pro football to the Mid-South for nearly two decades.
It's a miracle!
Yes!
Good! Touchdown! Titans!
This is Titans Radio. Now on Titans Radio, your chance to talk about the Titans with the head coach. This is the Mike Mularkey Show, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Now, the voice of the Titans, Mike Keith.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome to the Mike Mularkey Show from St. Thomas Sports Park in Nashville. We're glad to have you with us at 877-848-2671, 877-848-2671. Your Twitter questions at Titans Radio. To begin the program, as we head to the final weekend of the regular season, it's week 17 in the National Football League, we remind you of a couple of things. If the Tennessee Titans beat the Jacksonville Jaguars this Sunday at 3:25 at Nissan Stadium, the Tennessee Titans go to the playoffs. It's that simple. Win and you are in. That is going to be the message that you will hear all this week from the Titans camp. And again, to repeat that time, it is a 3:25 Central Time start at Nissan Stadium. That is a change. And knowing that it happened over a holiday weekend, some of you might not have heard, but we're going to make sure you know, as we will repeat it numerous times. 4:25 Eastern, 3:25 Central at Nissan Stadium, Titans and the Jags. If Tennessee wins, they make the playoffs for the first time in 9 years. Because we're on a holiday week, Mike Mularkey is game planning with his team, and so we'll be joined by John Robinson to take your calls, the Titans general manager, standing by at 877-848-2671. First, however, some comments from the head coach from his teleconference today. Jaguars are 10-5. They will be the number 3 seed in the AFC playoffs. From a seeding perspective, the Jags have nothing to play for Sunday in Nashville, but with Tom Coughlin and Doug Marrone in charge of Jacksonville football, many believe the Jaguars will play all out, wanting to get the bad taste out of their mouths from their loss at San Francisco. And it sounds like that's what Titans head coach Mike Mularkey believes.
I would expect a full game plan, a full just like a game they have to win. I think coming off a loss, I'm sure they don't want to go into into the playoffs with another one, and so I would expect we're going to get the best from them. Knowing Doug Marrone and Tom, I wouldn't think anything less than that.
Mularkey will continue to look for solid play from Titans wide receivers. Corey Davis coming off his best game, 6 catches for 91 yards, and Eric Decker continues to get stronger as the season winds down.
Yeah, no, I think the receivers have had a couple really good games. Corey did some, what I liked was some of the things he did after the catch. You can see how strong of a runner he can be. He did some good things. I mean, he's learning on the run and continuing to improve every week. And then, Dex just is when his number's been called and the progression is called for him to go to him, he's getting open as well.
Quarterback Marcus Mariota has historically played well against the Jaguars, and the Titans are looking for another big performance on Sunday. Big plays have been Mariota's hallmark against Jacksonville, and Mularkey certainly likes those, but he will happily take steady from number 8.
Just make some plays that obviously being good with the football, taking what the defense is giving them, continue to get us in the right plays. We haven't talked anything about the no huddle yet. We haven't got to that part of our game planning yet. He's operated that pretty efficiently, continue to do that, and just make good decisions with the ball. Same thing I tell them every week before the game. Make good decisions and take what the defense gives you.
It's been 15 weeks since the Titans defeated Jacksonville in week 2. The Jags defense, number 3 overall in the NFL, number 1 against the pass. Jacksonville has 52 quarterback sacks and 32 takeaways. Mularkey says that right now Jacksonville's defense overwhelms you with players, not scheme.
They're not doing as much as they were. I mean, again, we played in the second game of the year. When we studied them then, they were doing a little bit more than they are now. They're really not complicated. They're just really good. And that, you know, when they don't do a lot, when defenses don't do a lot, those are the ones you got to be concerned about. They have a lot of confidence in what they're doing, and they have players to do it. And so I think they're doing less than the last time we game planned for them.
Coach Mike Mularkey from his teleconference today, an odd week with the game on Sunday and then Christmas Day yesterday, people getting back to work today. Coach Mularkey and his staff working right now, and so we're joined by John Robinson, the Titans general manager, who will be happy to take your calls at 877-848-2671 and your Twitter questions at Titans Radio. So a bit of an odd week, as we mentioned, as you play on Christmas Eve and try to have some time with your family and the coaching staff and the players having time with their family on Monday, and then right back at it today trying to get everything jump-started with the real practice week beginning tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll be back on the field tomorrow. I was in here a little bit yesterday just kind of getting some pre-stuff after – you get all the presents unwrapped and you have some casseroles or whatever you're going to have for Christmas Day with the family, and then, you know, get started on preparation for Jacksonville. And then a full day today, game planning for the coaches and us from a personnel standpoint, you know, looking forward to the playoffs, like who we could potentially play down the road. And so it's and then we'll be back on the field. All the players be back in tomorrow and ready to roll.
As far as DeMarco Murray, Coach Mularkey announcing today that he is not going to declare him out at this point with a right knee injury. DeMarco Murray, one of the toughest, most professional Titans there is.
Yeah, extremely tough individual. Has played a lot of football in this league. It's very important to him. He's an important part of what we do here offensively and just from a makeup standpoint that the team is about. And so we'll see how he is tomorrow. He's historically been a pretty quick healer with things when he's, you know, gotten some nicks and bumps along the way. So see how he is tomorrow and then Thursday and then Friday, and then make a decision closer towards the end of the week.
But if he has to carry the load, Derrick Henry seems ready.
Yeah, you know, Derrick's had a lot of good plays for us. He's had some really good runs. The Indy game really jumps to mind right off the bat, you know, when he's able to kind of take over there at the end of the game and you know, kind of salt that one away for us. And he's ready, willing, and able to step in and be the guy.
877-848-2671, 877-848-2671. John Robinson, Titans general manager, is here. Twitter questions at Titans Radio. By the way, speaking of football, three bowl games going on today. From the Titans scouting perspective, do you go to all the bowl games? Do you watch all the bowl games? How does that work?
Yeah, so there's a bowl lottery, if you will, that the teams are kind of divvied up and put into some matrix or something. I don't know, but the league office they delve out those credentials for the bowl games. And you know, if you can make a certain game, you'll use that credential. If you do, if you don't, you might trade it for something, you know, another, you know, like you might trade the potato bowl for the Bitcoin bowl or something.
Is that right?
Yes. That has happened. I don't know if that exact trade went down, but hypothetically speaking. So some of our scouts are going to some of the bowl games, you know, that are going on this time of year. I know the Music City Bowl is here on Friday, and I'll be over there checking out those two teams for a little bit. It's an important part of part of the season for our scouting department, for the personnel department, and, you know, kind of that next phase, if you will, from a scouting standpoint, in that, you know, the players' seasons are winding down for their individual colleges, and they'll start to go to these all-star games here over the next month or so. But it's good to see them in bowl action if we can get there.
Do NFL teams get to attend the college bowl practices? Can you do that?
You can if it's open to the scouts. That's up to, you know, the individual college, much like during the course of the season. Some weeks are closed at some, you know, colleges because that's, you know, a big game for them, a rivalry game or whatever it is, and they don't want any distractions for their players as they're prepping to win. And it's the same thing for bowl prep. It's, you know, really up to the college how they want to handle that.
Do you get more out of the games or the practices if you're able to attend?
I think you get something out of both. You know, the games, you know, you can see them move around in warmups, during their individual drills. Can certainly see how they perform in a live setting. And then the practices, you can see how they interact with their teammates on a day in and day out basis. A lot of times that's kind of a, you know, maybe a looser setting for them. So they may show their personality a little bit more throughout the course of practice, see if they're paying attention to the coach. And the instruction that he's given, is the player showing any type of leadership ability with, you know, maybe a teammate's not doing something they're supposed to, or they're at the back of the line, and whatever it may be. So there's value in both settings to evaluate the players.
Let's go to the phones. Evan in Nashville is the leadoff caller. Evan, we welcome you to the Mike Mularkey Show. Our special guest tonight, Titans General Manager John Robinson. Go right ahead.
How you doing, John, tonight? How you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. Thanks for the call, Evan.
Oh, no problem. I'm doing good, too. I just want to ask a couple things. What are y'all going to try and do Sunday, you know, to come up with a W against the Jaguars and get a playoff Sunday? And also, what kind of things are y'all going to try and do, like, scheme-wise? Or do you think y'all going to open up the playbook more this Sunday and let Mario do his thing? And because I want to see y'all get in the playoffs, because I'm drinking that blue Kool-Aid all week for y'all, because I want to see y'all get in the playoffs and do something in the playoffs this year.
I appreciate the call, Evan. Maybe I need to get some blue Kool-Aid downstairs, too, and get our guys into it.
Sounds good.
Yeah, I think, you know, Jacksonville, they're a good opponent. They, you know, they're kind of they like to run the football and get after the passer on defense. So they'll have their, you know, they'll have their ears pinned back when they're on defense and we're on offense. We'll have to do a good job offensively of establishing our run game against those guys, try to get our ground game going. And blocking those pass rushers, and receivers will have to do a good job of getting open against two Pro Bowl corners. So it'd be a good game, and we need a lot of the two-tone blue in Nissan Stadium out there to help us.
Certainly some big Titans fans in Hopkinsville, Kentucky, where we go next for Shane's call. Shane, thank you so much, and welcome to Titans Radio. You're on the air.
Thank you very much. Mr. John, I have a question for you for more towards the off season, and you – kind of touched on it with the scouts and everything going to the bowl game. Where do we go in the upcoming draft? Because we've obviously had a great year this year, a huge turnaround for the Titans. But where are struggling areas, and where do you look to go in the draft for more firepower going forward?
Yeah, great question, Shane. I appreciate the call. Appreciate you listening. Appreciate your support. You know, I think a lot of what we do in the draft is really dictated by free agency, and according to how, you know, we address certain positions, we'll evaluate the roster. We do it on a weekly basis, but whenever our season concludes, hopefully that's several weeks from now, we'll evaluate the roster, take stock of kind of where we're at and areas we need to address, and then you look at it's much like it's supply and demand. So you look at the supply of players that are in free agency, how much are those players going to cost to add to the team versus the supply of players in the draft, and can you position yourself in the draft to get those players? And you have to balance that supply and demand, free agency with the draft, and how you're going to address the needs of the team.
Where is it that the free agent period starts? Is it roughly March the 10th again this year?
Yeah, it's March 9th or 10th. You know, they've got that window of 3-day legal tampering, which I don't know what that really means, but where we can, you know, start to have some negotiations with the free agents and their respective representatives about them coming to the team. And but yeah, and it trickles on throughout the course of March, but I'd say the feeding frenzy on the first day of free agency is pretty fast and furious.
It has been speculated at various sites about how much cap room the Titans have, and according to whatever figure you believe, you know, we are forced to believe, but it seems like you have plenty of cap room when March comes around. I know you're not going to get into the exact number, but would you say it's accurate to say that you have plenty of cap room, that the cap will not be a problem?
Yeah, to me, the cap, you can massage and get around the cap a lot of different ways. You can adjust things. You can renegotiate things. There's ways to get around the cap and be under the cap. But I would say to your question specifically, plenty. That's a good word. I like plenty. I think we will be okay cap room wise.
Titans and the Jags this Sunday at Nissan Stadium. Kickoff is set for 3:25 Central Time. We're on the air with Titans Radio at 2:30 Central with Titans Countdown. Again, 3:25 kickoff. And especially if you're a Titans season ticket member, let's make sure you're there. Let's get in your seat and let's be ready to go. These are the kind of games you live for, because it is win and you're in for the Titans. When this team moved here 20 years ago, you thought, man, getting a chance to go to the playoffs, that's why you want to have an NFL team. You got a chance to be there this Sunday and see it all go down, the Titans and the Jags. And the crowd at the game on Sunday was absolutely fantastic again. The weather wasn't great, and it's Christmas Eve, and yet there they were just pounding away for you again, John Robinson.
Yeah, it was outstanding to see our fans in the stands. They were into the game. They were giving it to the refs on a few calls, which I applaud. And but yeah, the support that they've given us and given this team has been outstanding. We certainly need them in there this Sunday to be loud and rock us and make it as tough on Jacksonville as possible.
To the phones, Christian in Nashville. Welcome to the Mike Mularkey Show. Special guest, General Manager John Robinson. Go right ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Keith, and good afternoon, Mr. Robinson. And I'd just like to echo what you just said. I'd love to see all the Titans fans in the area be there on Sunday afternoon, because I know what a special atmosphere we can make it. And even though they're projecting cold weather, with the excitement we bring, we'll keep it warm inside for sure. Mr. Robinson, my one question I got for you is, I believe you were on the night before we played Steelers on Thursday night, so I know it was a short week. And it's somewhat of a similar situation, even though we're playing on a Sunday with the Christmas holiday. I just wanted to see if you had any more extra involvement this week with the game plan, helping Coach Mularkey out, getting an extra day or so on the Jaguars film-wise. I'll hang up, listen, and can't wait for Sunday. Thank you, guys.
I appreciate it, Christian. No, our scouts, we've got pretty good knowledge of Jacksonville with them being in the division. One of our pro scouts who was assigned to the Jaguars, he's kind of tracked them all season. He was at their game Sunday and then red-eyed back home Christmas Eve night and emailed the advance to the coaches about, you know, the injured players and things that he had seen throughout the course of the game, and then presented that to them this morning at 8. And then I go through a weekly thing where I talk to Coach Mularkey and just things that I see, tendencies that I might see, statistical information that I gather from numerous websites. Anything that we can do to gain an advantage on our opponent, whether it be from stuff that I found or our pro scouts with the advance, to give to the coaches. And that's kind of our job this time of year from a pro scouting standpoint is to equip the coaches with as much statistical scouting data as possible on our opponents.
You guys are scouring everywhere, aren't you?
Yeah. Next week will be futures contracts. You can sign guys to futures contracts. So the teams that are out of the playoffs, they'll start that. And we've got some workouts, coming up with guys that are currently on the street and just bringing them in, seeing what kind of shape they're in, seeing those guys move around, getting the medical information, much like we do in preparation for combine with physicals and stuff. And prepping for the roster for next year.
I think what we saw was really interesting too is, so you have the injury to LeSean Sims and he's out for the year and you have to put him on IR, and you bring back DeMontre Hurst, and here's a guy who was with you not just in training camp, but he was with you for 5 months. So this is a veteran NFL player that you've obviously stayed in contact with, and you're able to bring back somebody who knows how to play Titan football. How you practice, what you do with things, having that reserve and those guys that you target to fit your system, that really makes a difference when you get in a situation that you lose a valuable player like LeSean Sims this late in the year.
Yeah, I mean, and DeMontre was a guy this time a year ago, was one of those futures guys who we brought in. He had been with the Bears for quite a while, played several snaps on Sundays for the Bears throughout his career. And we worked him out and we signed him to his futures contract. To your point, he was with us all spring, learned the defense, was really having a really good training camp, was knocking on the door for our roster spot there, and then had an injury that kind of set him back. He's had some workouts through the course of the fall, but once Sims went down, DeMontre was the first guy that kind of popped in my mind to bring in and give a look-see to see kind of where he was at in shape. We knew he would know the defense because he really did a good job, from an intelligence standpoint, taking it in throughout the course of the fall. And, he's fit in nicely. He's in good shape, moved around good last week kind of towards the end of practice. So we'll see how he factors in this week.
You played against the Los Angeles Rams with two of your top three corners out, and so you asked Ty Smith to step in. And here's a guy who's taken very few snaps on the defense. He's played well on special teams, but he's a guy that you've been up on. And here he plays 66 plays, six tackles. To the naked eye, it seemed like he did a really nice job, in particular, stepping in against that offense and not having played that many snaps in a game before.
Yeah, no, he's another one of those future signings that we kind of did a year ago. And when called upon to go play defense Sunday, he did not blink. He went out there, and he's had a really nice weeks of practice covering our offensive guys throughout the course of practices. And when he was forced to play Sunday, had a really good tackle. The one that sticks out to me is Gurley on a screen where he kind of plugged up in there and got a big stop for us. So he's a longer corner. He's got good movement skills, and he's really been a good special teams player for us this year, and showed up and played good defense for us on Sunday.
We noticed you played Kevin Dodd down a little bit in the defensive line. Any idea how he did, or is it too soon to tell?
I thought he did a nice job. He had some productive plays in there, had a quarterback pressure, had a tackle. He practiced in there last week. He's kind of one of those tweeners. He can play outside linebacker because he's long and he's athletic enough too, and he's got enough girth and enough strength to kick down and play a three or play a four eye on the tackle and give you some versatility to slide in there. And with some injuries that we had on the side of the ball with Carl and with Derek Morgan missing some time, we thought it important to make sure we had enough viable bodies on that side of the ball front-wise, and Dodd gave us that versatility and flexibility.
Let's head to West Tennessee. We'll go to Dyersburg and take a call from Justin. Justin, calling us at 877-848-2671. We welcome you to the Mike Mularkey Show, where tonight John Robinson is our special guest. Go right ahead.
Hey, guys. I wondered, being so thin at cornerback, I noticed you guys had Kalen Reed active for this last game, but he didn't get any defensive snaps. I'm sure he played special teams. I just wonder how you felt about him and how he's coming along.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Justin. Kalen's done a really nice job for us. He much like Ty, has done a really good job in practice covering our guys. He's got good quickness. He's got good toughness. He's a willing tackler. He's probably more of an inside corner to play in the slot over some of those guys. That's where he's seen a bulk of the reps in practice for us, but can kick out and play outside corner too. So we're happy with Kalen. He's done a nice job of buying in and kind of waiting his turn, and we're looking for big things for Kalen in the future.
Fair to say he is probably one of the best overall athletes on your football team?
He is. He's a really good athlete. He slides out and he plays vice. He plays gunner on punt team. We've worked him some at personal protector on punt team. He's got good movement skills. He catches the ball well. He'd probably be a really good basketball player if you were to just go play pickup. Pickup basketball. I'd probably want him as a point guard on the team. But he's really done a nice job, and he really has bought into philosophically what we want to be about as a team.
John Robinson is our guest. We have one more segment of calls with him coming up. You can get on the line right now at 877-848-2671 as you listen to the Mike Mularkey Show. It's time for our Pinnacle Moment of the Game from this past Sunday. Sign up for a Titans checking account with Pinnacle, and you could receive a $200 gift card for Titans gear and maybe more. Details at TitansBanking.com. Pinnacle, play hard, bank easy.
Oh, my goodness! Casey went ramming through there! Goff knocked loose of the ball, and Woodyard has a big six.
First defensive touchdown of the year, Jarrell Casey with our Pinnacle Moment of the Game. Wesley Woodyard, the beneficiary. Casey a little motivated the other day. I think he might have heard a little too much about Aaron Donald during the week.
Yeah, that was a huge play for us. It looked like they were running stretch zone there, and he beat the guard to the B gap and hit Goff before he had a chance to hand it to Gurley. And Wesley was Johnny on the spot and pick it up and took it in the end zone and got some points. It was a huge, huge play for us and a big momentum builder.
As a former defensive coach, that's probably incredibly exciting to you to see that, right?
Yeah, any time you can see a D lineman make a big play and cause a touchdown, You get a little lathered up when you see those D linemen do that kind of stuff.
It's a beautiful play. That's our pinnacle moment of the game. By the way, we know the 2018 Titans opponents because the Titans will finish second in the AFC South, and so we can match this up. At home, the Jets, New England, Philadelphia, Washington, Baltimore coming back for a second year in a row, and then the three divisional teams, Jacksonville, Houston, and Indianapolis. Away, Buffalo, Miami, Dallas, travel to New York to play the Giants, travel to Los Angeles to play the Chargers, and then the three division opponents. Now, that's getting ahead of things because this Sunday, 3:25, Nissan Stadium, the only game that counts, the only thing that counts to anybody in this organization is finding a way to win this football game, because if you do, you go to the playoffs.
Yeah, we're in one game season mode now, and that's all our focus is on is this game Sunday, getting prepared mentally, physically at practice when we get back out there tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and show up on Sunday and do everything we can, execute and come away with a win so we can keep playing.
And this is one of those situations. It's like if you're in the playoffs in baseball, you're going to bring somebody out of the bullpen to throw on 2 days' rest because there is no tomorrow without this one. It's kind of the same theory in this situation. It's all hands on deck. It's whatever you need. It's any play in the playbook. It's anybody lining up anywhere that you need them. It's exciting in one real sense because anything can happen.
Yeah, we got to push all our chips in here for this game and try to come away with more points than they do and get in the tournament. Once you get in the tournament, it's a one game season. It's week to week and see where you fall.
And certainly everything has not gone perfectly this year for the Titans, and there are some things that everybody would like to see improved upon, but a step into the playoffs is another step, and it's another building block in what you and the staff have been trying to do here. You can't win Super Bowls unless you're in the Super Bowl tournament.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And just, try to eliminate mistakes and build on things that we're doing well and make sure we're trying to take advantage of matchups for us on offense and defense and in the kicking game. Put ourselves in best position to go out and win the football game. And that's the most important thing this Sunday is to go out and execute, have our fans into it, have them loud and rowdy and execute and win the football game.
877-848-2671. Dave McGinnis will join me for the last segment of tonight's show, and we'll certainly delve deeply into Jacksonville and what they have looked like this year. That's coming up in our last segment, but we do have more time for questions at 877-848-2671. Twitter questions at Titans Radio. Were you surprised there was no Sunday night game this week? That all of the games will be played there, 7 at 1 o'clock Eastern, and there are 9 at 4:25 Eastern.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some strategic element that the NFL had that in place. Obviously, you've got the final slots that you're vying for a chance to get in the playoffs. You don't want them to have any prior knowledge of what they need to do to get in. So, not necessarily. Yeah, because Sunday night football, that's kind of a big thing. That's a big draw. But whenever the league tells us to play, we'll show up and put our best forward and try to go out and win a ball game.
But the bottom line too for you is while other games go on that could be affected by what happens with you, you don't have to scoreboard watch, which is and people can say they don't, but I mean, human nature is in these situations and our franchise has been in this situation multiple times. You do keep an eye on other things.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that's good about our situation is if we go out and take care of our business, there's other teams watching our scoreboard and they're tracking what we're doing. We literally control our own destiny. We can go out and do what we're capable of doing and win the football game. Then we're in. We don't need somebody else to beat this team or that team to lose to that team. go out, win the football game, and you're playing, you live to play another week.
Earlier in the program, we talked about we played a cut from Coach Mularkey talking about Corey Davis coming off his most productive game, 6 catches for 91 yards. As you went back and watched the tape, what pleased you most about the rookie from Western Michigan?
I think he really had a nice week of practice. He caught some really good balls on throughout the course of the week. And then went out on Sunday and really executed. I thought he won at the top of the route. He was able to get himself open. You know, you could see his catch radius on that third down catch where he leapt over the middle of the field and came down with it. That was a big play for us. And then his ability to catch and run, that deep curl route, that around comeback route. He caught it, spun out, and got some extra yards after the catch. So he's, I think you can see what he's capable of doing as he continues to learn the nuances of the NFL game.
Be a nice week to get his first touchdown.
That would be great. Multiple.
His first couple.
Yeah, if you're going to get one, might as well get a couple, right?
Eric Decker's numbers have picked up, too, in terms of yards per catch and what he's able to do. Is he being used in a different way? Is he more comfortable? What's kind of happened with Decker in December to see him go from being a 9 or 10 yard per catch guy to a guy more towards 14 to 15?
Yeah, I think certainly more familiarity with the route tree and the pass concept. That Marcus and his relationship with each other and trusting when I'm going to be here, where I'm going to be there. That's an unspoken thing. It's that chemistry between those two guys. I think that's developed over the last couple of weeks. And he's really worked hard. He's worked hard at practice. He's worked after practice to make sure that, he's got everything buttoned up on his standpoint to go out and make plays for us.
Guys fighting through injuries, the other thing, and people all over the listening area dealing with sickness right now. Both your starting linebackers added to the injury report on Saturday with illness and still went out and played. That's not always an easy thing.
No, that's tough. They call a little bit of a bug late Friday night and Saturday weren't able to make it to practice. And the other thing is you don't want them to expose other players on the team. So held them out, got them some fluids and some medicine, and they were able to come back. And Woodyard was one of those that was sick, bounced back, made a touchdown for us.
Good stuff. Logan Ryan, coach, sounding optimistic that maybe he can get back from the ankle later this week. Would be huge to have him in this football game.
Yeah, I think Logan's feeling better. We'll see. He was in here today, and he said he was feeling better, and we'll see how he is tomorrow. But you're right. Having him back out there, he's been a nice steady presence for us all year back there in the secondary. His veteran knowledge. He's played a lot of football at this time of the year. It's the most important time of the year. So having him back out there would be great for us.
Titans preparing to take on Jacksonville, a team that averages 367 yards per game and really runs the football exceedingly well and has been able to throw it with some effectiveness. Overall, they have become a much more balanced offense than probably the first time around when you saw them.
Yeah, and they've got a good stable of backs there with Fournette, Ivory, and Yeldon, and Bortles has found some chemistry with some of those receivers, we'll have to do a good job of stopping the run, maintaining our gap, getting off blocks, and gang tackling these backs are tough guys to bring down. And then being disciplined in our zone coverage, plastering in our man coverage, and try to get to Bortles and rattle him and get him off the spot back there.
He has had a very nice year, though, Bortles.
He has. He's to his credit and the coaching staff down there, they've done a nice job of putting him in position to be successful. And just hope, Sunday at 3:25 he's not.
Blake Bortles scheduled to start for Jacksonville. Do you concern yourself at all with what Jacksonville might do in terms of their personnel based on the fact that they cannot improve their seeding?
No, I think we prepare just like we would, every single week that you're going to go out there and you're going to get your opponent's best. They're going to step in the ring and start throwing punches, and we got to be prepared to punch back. And you can't concern yourself with who's going to play or who's not going to play depending upon what happens next week. The only thing that concerns us is going out and getting a win this Sunday.
John Robinson, thank you as always so much for joining us, for filling in for Coach Mularkey as he works on the game plan.
Thanks. It's appreciate having me on. Look forward to seeing everybody out there at Nissan. We need you guys. Appreciate it.
All right. Remind you one more time before we go to break. Titans and the Jaguars this week. It's a win and you're in for the Titans. If Tennessee beats Jacksonville, they go to the playoffs, and kickoff has been flexed to 4:25 Eastern Time, 3:25 Central Time at Nissan Stadium.
The Mike Mularkey Show continues on Titans Radio, joined now by Dave McGinnis, Titans Radio game day analyst. You know what these win and end weeks are like for the staff preparing tonight for the players to come in and start practice tomorrow. What has the last 48 hours been like, and what will the week be like for the staff?
Well, first of all, Mike, I mean, the last 48 hours, of course, you know, being with Christmas, I mean, you get to spend some time with your family. But the thing on everybody's mind is this win and your end game against Jacksonville. So, you know, in fact, I was up here. I had to come meet some people at the facility, and the coaches were here. I mean, they are working because they know the magnitude of it. The players know the magnitude of it. I mean, I've been in this league for a long time, just like you have. Holidays kind of take a back seat to what you're doing, and this is a huge. I've been in these kind of weeks before. You know what the ramifications of this week are, and so you just want to be sure you tap everything that you can and leave nothing uncovered.
Does it help everybody involved that you have great familiarity due to it being a division game?
Well, you're so right there, Mike, and that's 100% true. Now, teams evolve during the year, and they evolve during the year for a lot of reasons. They either evolve scheme-wise or they evolve because of injuries, and they have to, you know, you change people. But it's an advantage that you're playing a division opponent that you're very, very familiar with. The players are familiar with their matchups and the people that you're going against. And so, to your question, it is an advantage, but it's also an advantage for Jacksonville because this ball game, really, when you start playing people the second time in the division, it boils down to individual matchups. You've got to win, man on man, your individual matchups.
Doug Marrone is the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars, but one would figure that the man who runs all of football in Jacksonville, Tom Coughlin, will probably largely make the decision about how long the starters play on Sunday at 3:25 in Nashville against the Titans. You know Tom Coughlin well. The Jaguars are coming off a 44-33 loss at San Francisco. Their position can't change. They're the 3 seed. What do you think he thinks?
Well, I know Tom Coughlin a lot better than I know Doug Marrone. I also know this. The Jaguars ownership, they did not bring Tom Coughlin in there just to turn the clocks back. I promise you, he was brought in there because of the one thing you can't manufacture in this league is experience. They wanted the whole Tom Coughlin experience package and the way he's run successful organizations that have won Super Bowls. We've got a great example of what he did the year they beat New England in the Super Bowl. The last game of the season, they played New England with nothing as far as seeding on the line, and they played them to the wall. And then, so to me, Tom Coughlin has a huge voice in their big meeting rooms when they're devising strategy for this. And as you say, the playoffs are on the line. I would fully expect, if Tom Coughlin has a say, which I know he does, that you're going to get the best out of the Jacksonville because they don't want to come limping into the playoffs because they've got to play a game next week. And hopefully we're playing them. And so they don't want to back-to-back poor performances.
From the Titans' standpoint, does it change any bit of their performance from analyzing personnel, not knowing exactly who Jacksonville might play?
It really doesn't. It really doesn't because you know this. I mean, they're, and plus, you've only got 46 people active. I mean, it's not like it, where you have 110 guys like in the NCAA or 90 or however many they suit up on Saturdays. You've got 46 people, so good players are going to play. They know Jacksonville is one of the best defenses in the league. They know they've got a running back that has really been playing well. You talked about the loss last week, Mike. They had 12 penalties. They had 3 turnovers. You know, regardless of what this game would mean, they want to clean that up because you can't have that hanging over you as a football team going into the playoffs.
Dave McGinnis, we haven't seen Jacksonville in 15 weeks. From just what you've seen of them on tape and what you saw of them in person on September 17th, what are the biggest changes that jump out to you?
To me, the biggest changes are last week, Bortles was not good. Bortles has been playing very well you know, since we played him up there. And everybody, I mean, that was the speak, you know, that he was the Achilles heel, because they had a running game. They had Fournette being able to run the football. They were playing wonderful defense. They probably got two of the best press corners in the league. I mean, everything was built there. They had things going. The huge question mark, and it was two question marks, was whether this quarterback could A, manage games, and B, would not lose games for him. He has proven that he can do more than manage games. He's been playing very good NFL quarterback until last week. Again, that's why I say he needs to get himself back on track too. But the biggest difference I've seen, Mike, is the quarterback play.
All right, let's talk about their defense. Let me throw some numbers at you. 290 yards a game is what they've allowed. 116 on the ground, 174 in the air. That's the best pass defense in the NFL. They have 52 quarterback sacks. They have 32 takeaways as a defense. Of all of that, what impresses you the most?
The thing that impresses me the most in this day and age, with the way the game is spread out horizontally and people are throwing the ball, 174 yards a game passing. Come on, Mike. They've got a lot going on. And that tells me two things. They've got people that can cover. And when you have people that can cover, it takes me back to those Bear days and some of our great days here in Tennessee, those 2008. You've got corners that can play man. You can bring a lot of heat with a lot of people. And you can also give a lot of help in coverage, because you can play the run with six or seven people in the box because those corners can cover. And to me, the what they've done, those numbers, the takeaways, that's huge. Takeaways come normally when people start panicking that are playing you, and clearly that's what's been happening.
All right, 18 of their 21 interceptions have come from the secondary. Listen to this. A.J. Boye, 6 picks. Jalen Ramsey, 4 picks. Barry Church, 4 picks. Tayshawn Gibson, 4 picks. Their starters in the secondary, 4 guys, have 18 interceptions.
Mike, that's impressive. Now, I mean, and that's, you know, some 18 interceptions. Some teams don't have 18 interceptions as a team, much less just a secondary unit. So you can see why they've had success. And the thing that they've done, Mike, since we've played them, and you said 15 weeks ago, they've continued to build on that defense, because going in there, we thought that secondary was really good and that defense was set up to be really good. They've improved. They've elevated their play. And again, as I said, the quarterback has caught up to that. That's why they're sitting where they are right now. This is a very, very good football team, and it's a football team that the Titans can match up with. The Titans have already beaten them. We can beat them again, but you're going to have to play good NFL football, because basically this is a playoff game too.
Marcell Dareus was not there the first time around. He was acquired from Buffalo to be another run stopper in the defensive line. He's done a nice job. We knew the name Keelan Cole. I knew his name because I'm a little familiar with Kentucky Wesleyan's program. But look at how this guy has exploded. Last two games, 100-yard performances, 296 total yards receiving. Suddenly, Jacksonville has found a big play threat off their own team.
You know, and that's, I mean, that's a great point that you make, because this is an undrafted kid out of Kentucky Wesleyan. Now, he's got speed. He's got a lot of speed. I mean, the kid can motor. He can turn them over and eat stripes up very, very quick. But here's to me what it points out. It points out to me that people are concentrating on stopping the run. You know, and then you've got your play action working. And again, as I said, as we talked about earlier in this broadcast you and I are having, teams evolve. Players also evolve. And here's an undrafted kid that has kind of started to grow up towards the end of the season. I'm sure he was showing a lot of improvement during practice, and finally they decided to trust him. And the numbers that you say he's put up in the last 2 weeks, this is a guy you've got to look out for.
Finally, Dave McGinnis, this is obviously a win in your end game for the Tennessee Titans. Probably the biggest home football game the Titans have had at Nissan Stadium in nearly a decade. The crowd that turned out the other day on Christmas Eve did a great job. The crowds have done a great job all year. But the Titans need as many season ticket holders in the house on New Year's Eve at 3:25 as possible.
No, absolutely. And again, as you said, that group that showed up, you know, for the last ball game was outstanding. They've been outstanding. We need everybody in that stadium. And I mean, it's New Year's Eve. This is a playoff game. You've got playoff NFL football. You come to this ball game, all you got to do is walk across the bridge. There's plenty going on down at Broadway afterwards. So let's get everybody out there. You and I are going to be in the booth with the windows open. Let's go. This is a playoff game. Let's get everybody there. Let's get Nissan Stadium rocking.
And we know it's going to be cold, so wear a jacket.
Wear a jacket and get this thing rocking. Let's go, Titans.
Yeah, you get these opportunities in the NFL not every day, and this is why you want to have the NFL in your cities, is for Sundays just like this one.
Oh, that's so absolutely true, and that's why I've spent over half my life in the NFL. But Sundays like this, where it's all on the line, this is a playoff game. Let's go, tighten up.
All right. Dave McGinnis, thanks so much. We want you to be with us again. In case you missed it, the kickoff time of this game has been moved to 4:25 Eastern, 3:25 Central. Again, originally scheduled for a noon Central time kick, now it's 3:25 Central time. We'll be on the air here on Titans Radio at 2:30 Central with Titans Countdown. But to all you Titans ticket holders out there, get to this ball game and be part of what is going to be a great New Year's Eve in Nashville. The Mike Mularkey Show is produced by Brandon Haggerty. Titans radio producer, Brad Willis. Promotions director, Marie Misha. Traffic director, Kendra Holt. Director of sales, Hunter Rice. General manager, Allison Warren. Operations manager, Charlie Cook. And the executive producer of Titans Radio is Rhett Bryan. For Coach Dave McGinnis and John Robinson, Mike Keith once again reminds you of the start time change for Sunday at Nissan Stadium. Titans and the Jags win and you're in for Tennessee. As far as the playoffs go, we'll kick it off at 3:25 Central Time on the air on this Titans radio station at 2:30. Until then, have a great week, everybody.
The Mike Mularkey Show, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. For great health care coverage, get the home field advantage with Farm Bureau Health Plans. They've got you covered. Get the info you need for this week's game at TitansRadio.com. This is Titans Radio.